scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Level two. This is Sports Rage late night. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them and everybody else in between along for the ride. I am Morenci. Let's do this thing. It was a Usain Bolt fast hour one of the program. We talked some horse racing. We threw it down. Capper's Corner style. Legendary Lindsay stepped up and in. We thought from the Meadowlands racetrack, or at least a post-Meadowlands report, but that's what made it good, actually. The random craziness of it. And you know what? Lindsay's he's a rageaholic. You can tell he's crazy, all right? So, yeah, Lindsay joined us from New York. Like, he's like, no, I'm not taking the subway. I'm not going anywhere. He's like, no, that's not happening. He goes, I'm waiting until you come back to go there. I'm like, well, you're going to wait a little while, bro. and I can't call this guy out for not going. Because I'm like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, what, are you crazy? Like Pharrell. Pharrell's like, no, I'm not leaving my house ever again. Pharrell's like, yeah, just for the record, I'm not leaving my house ever again. So nevertheless, great stuff with legendary Lindsay. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to here. A very strange story, actually, that broke earlier in the evening, and seems like everything is okay right now, in which Dan O'Toole of TSN Television and formerly of Fox Sports 1 Television, FS1, you remember him with Jay Onright. So, you know, Jay and Dan have been a thing for years. They were on TSN Television in Canada for years. They were very popular. They went to FS1 and Fox Sports 1 for a couple of years, and they went back to TSN after a couple of years on FS1. So earlier in the day, Dan O'Toole tweeted that his month-year-old baby was missing. And it was kind of a very strange post in which I think she's alive, but I don't know where she is. And then it was like, but, you know, this has nothing to do with my wonderful ex-wife. And then there were a series of a bunch of other posts, which he started deleting. Very random behavior all day long. But it appears that the kid is safe, right? Which that's all that matters. Again.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Sports Rage late night. I'm Morenci, 844-843-6879. Tough to top the first hour of the program, but somebody step up to the window and try to. So we're just talking about Dan O'Toole. And, of course, Dan O'Toole, TSN Television, formerly of FS1. You know, he really rattled everybody earlier in the day. And I don't want to say I told you so or anything like that because, well, whatever. But earlier in the day, we saw this story at about 6 o'clock or 6:30. We were on Game Time Decisions. And Cam said to me, he said, oh my God, look at this story during a commercial break. And he said, should we bring it up on the show? And I said, nah, we don't know enough about it. And I looked at it and right away I was like, something's not right here. You know, something's not right. So the initial tweet, the initial post was, my baby Oakland, I'm praying that whoever has you is holding you, that whoever is taking you from me is protecting you, that whoever has you lets you come back into my arms. I love you, Oakland. I can't wait one day to hold you again. My heart is broken. I am broken. To be clear, Oakland is alive, we think, but we don't know. I have a one-month-year-old child, and I don't know where she is. Very disturbing and kind of like people are like, oh, my God, like was the baby kidnapped? But I read this and I'm thinking, well, there's no, you know, somebody jumped into my backyard and took my baby. I was in the grocery store and I turned around and my baby was gone. Baby last seen here, baby last seen there. And then another thing was there was no police report. There was no police report. And then people in the media started calling the police stations and saying, what's going on? Are you looking for a baby? Like, you know what I mean? Like people in the media doing their job. And the cops kind of said, there's no missing baby. All right. And then it sort of started. Then people are like, all right, what's going on here? Then somebody in the media tweeted and said, I have spoken to local police and can confirm that Dan O'Toole's baby is fine and with his mother, his ex-wife. And that there's no police story here. And then O'Toole starts tweeting about, like, you know, Peterborough police hung up on him. And then he's arguing with people. So the guy that tweeted that I can report that the baby's fine, O'Toole's like, I think I would know it's my kid. And it turns out the kid is fine. So, you know, and listen, I'm not here. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not here to, like, point fingers and laugh at anybody. There's nothing funny about it, you know, any of this. The number one story is we're just glad that the kid is all right. There are people who are genuinely panicked, man. You know, you hear a story. Look, Dan O'Toole's a likable guy. He's on TV. People have known him for years. He's popular. Him and Jay are a popular combo. And, you know, people were concerned for him. They're like, oh, my God, his baby was kidnapped. But then subsequently you saw, like, with the tweets and the post after, it was like, man, something's not right here, bro. And then it just sort of got weirder and weirder. And now, you know, he confirms, he tweets basically, and he's right into, for all you people that took shots at me. And so, well, listen, I'm just glad that the kid's all right. Although I'm going to be honest with you, I never really thought the kid wasn't all right. Yeah. When I, you know, like I said, you can sort of read between the lines here, but listen, we've all been there before. We've all said too many things about our own personal lives online before. This was just a step, you know, this is a step further. I would assume there's going to be a leave of absence coming up. It's going to be taking a couple of weeks off, after this, I would imagine. But like I said, we're not like, to a lot of people out there, nobody cares, right, about anybody. There's no empathy out there. I can tell you a funny story about Dan O'Toole. And, you know, it's actually a sad story from my perspective. It's a sad story from my perspective only because Dan O'Toole is one of many people who I was much bigger than before, who I'm now not. But all kidding aside, I remember years ago, guys, so this is like a long time ago, like we were on the Score television network, and the Score used to have a television network. Now it's just like a mobile app and betting service and stuff like that. But so there used to be a bar near the Score studio, and I didn't go there that often. I'm not one of these industry insider types. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to get wasted and stuff, I don't need to get wasted with like a weatherman or anything like that. Like, I don't really care about, you know. I guess, you know, maybe it's good for networking and stuff like that, and maybe that's why I'm an outsider. But nevertheless, I remember we were in a bar once. It was me and Cam, this place called The Underground. And, like, you know, media people go there, and the Blue Jay players go there, and the Maple Leafs and stuff. And I remember one night, for whatever reason, me and Cam were there, and, like, a million people were coming up to us and stuff. And, like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And, can I get a picture? You guys are so cool and stuff. And I remember Dan O'Toole was standing next to us, and he was alone, and nobody said anything to him. And, you know, and I actually felt bad. And I looked over at him. I was like, hey, how you doing, Dan O'Toole? I said, hey, Gabriel Morency. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan, you know, whatever. He was all nice, started talking and stuff. And, like, nobody said anything to him. And I kind of felt bad. I was like, yeah, nobody cares about, like, the dumb SportsCenter guy. You know what I mean? So what? You read SportsCenter. But turns out, after all these years, like, his podcasts and stuff became very, very popular. Right? Like, him and Jay Onright, very, very popular combination. Not my type of humor, but I can tell you, and I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you if someone's a jerk and who's nice and stuff like that. But when I met Dan O'Toole, nice guy. Yeah, you could tell he was a nice guy. And I've met Jay Onwright before. And Jay Onwright is actually pretty much exactly the way that he is off the air, on the air. Like, a lot of people will be completely different. But I don't know, man. Like, how do you know if anyone's a nice guy? Just because you meet them, right? Like, look, a good example is, like, Clay Travis. Clay Travis, I've met Clay Travis on a couple of occasions. I've spoken at the same conferences as he has in a couple of years in a row. So, like, not just met him. Like, I've spoken after him at conferences. And same thing. Like, Clay Travis on Twitter, you want to punch in the face. At least I do. You meet him in person, and he's a nice guy. He's normal, right? Like, you know, it's almost like some people are an act. Some people are the same. I tend to be closer to the same. I'm pretty much the exact same on and off the air as I am. You know, some people, you know, they're on-air persona, or it's sort of a character and an act. That's the thing with Travis. Like, I don't know if he even means what he says. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think he does. My own personal opinion, I think Clay Travis veered, like, to that right-wing sort of stuff solely for, like, a marketing. Like, he saw sort of a niche that he could fill, and he did, and it's worked for him. But I don't think he even believes it. Sort of like a politician, that he's just saying things because he knows people, they want to hear it. Like, I don't really believe, like, he even believes a lot of the crap that he tweets. But whatever, man. If he's making money doing it, I don't think he cares, right? Some people don't care about, they'll say anything for attention. And, you know, the bottom line, the dollar in the end will justify it for them. Or some people will do it just for attention, right? Well, I got you talking about me. And, you know, I don't know. I've never been down, like, with attention for attention's sake. Or I don't like saying things that I don't mean. You know what I mean? I mean what I say. I'm not going to say things or have an opinion because a bunch of rubes on Twitter want me to have an opinion. But I don't judge others for the fruit that they take. Your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hampers, a shout out to Living Room Lindsay. Great stuff. Living room, Lindsay. I see that Mike Ribeiro is trending on Twitter. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw Mike Ribeiro trending on Twitter, I'm like, all right, that can't be good. Like, that cannot be good. But it turns out I don't know, it's the anniversary or something. I don't know, something with the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League or whatever. He didn't do anything, all right? He didn't do anything. We were talking earlier about the Orlando bubble a little bit, and about how this is what's crazy. The NBA, and I don't know why they're doing this. Like, this is so stupid. And we spoke to basketball people about this. We spoke to coaches about this. We spoke to people. And we said, because the NBA said they want teams to bring their hardwood floors to Orlando. And I'm thinking if I owned a team, the last thing I'm going to do, like, you want me to pack up my hardwood and bring my gym floor to Orlando? Like, don't you guys have a freaking gym floor we can use? Like, really? Like, they want it to be authentic, right? So, oh, it's authentic. It's like your home court. But it's like Pete Annapolis stated. It's not the court, the wood. Who cares about the wood? The wood's the same. It's the rims. You should be able to have your own rims and bring your own rims. But nevertheless, it does look pretty cool. They're laying it all out. They got a bunch of like practice courts all next to each other and stuff. You know, they got a million practice courts. That's why they're going to Disney. But Zion Williamson, we've seen a picture of Zion, the first picture that we've seen of Zion since the shutdown. And basically, man, the guy looks like a cross between, I don't know, like Chick Congo and like Dwight Howard. Zion Williamson basically looks like a UFC heavyweight fighter right now. And he looks like he could like kill anybody. And it's amazing, man. A couple of months, like this kid had all that baby fat. He was all pudgy and stuff. And now, man, he's all muscle. It's crazy. Like normally it'll take players a couple of years, like in the league before they start to put on the muscle. Like even Michael Jordan was a skinny kid in the league for a while. You see Pascal Siakam now. You know, I guarantee you in a year or two, Siakam's going to be all ripped and he'll be bigger. He'll just be, yeah, you know what? I got tired of getting hit in the paint all the time. DeMar DeRozan wasn't that big. And I remember one year he just showed up and he was all ripped suddenly. So usually guys are in the NBA for a couple of years before they learn, I got to get bigger and more muscular just so I can be more physical in the paint. And I won't get leaned on as much. Except Zion wasn't like small. He was chunky, right? But he's turned all that baby fat into muscle. Whoever his dietitian is and his trainer did a great job. But this kid is freaking scary, man. This kid is scary. And I'll be honest, like when the Zion hype first started at Duke, I was like, whatever, bro. RJ Barrett might be a better NBA player than him. You know, I was like, Ja Morant might be a better NBA player than him. I wasn't anti-Zion. I knew Zion was good, but I was like, you know, I don't know if he's this generational talent type thing. I said, you know, he's kind of the ESPN hype kid. He's a really good dunker. I get it. And, you know, if you're a dunker, you know, that gets you the hype, right? And the thing is, he is a good dunker. Like, he's, like, the best dunker already. Like, Blake Griffin basically stated, like, he's already the best dunker in the NBA. Like, you look at the dunks that this kid lays down, man, and, like, in-game action. Like, a lot of people can do dunks and dunking contests and pregame warm-ups and do crazy things. Zion's doing these sick dunks, like, in games. And, you know, we talked about it earlier before a little bit, but people seem to forget, like, just how dominant he actually was. Like, I remember his over-under prop was, like, 14.5. And, like, we're like, all right, let's go over. And then he went over. And we're like, all right, it's 14.5 again. Let's go over again. And then they made it, like, 15.5. Then it was 16.5. Then it was, like, 18.5. Then it was, like, 19.5. Then it was, like, 23.5. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Zion's prop kept on going up every day. And he kept on hitting it all the time. Until, like, finally, they set it, and you know what the magic number was? It was 24.5. That's sort of where they settled in at, 24.5, and he started coming in. It was a little high, man. You know, there wasn't a lot of room for error for the kid anymore. But his conditioning right now, like, I can't wait to see this kid on the court. I've like, all bought in right now. Like, this kid has put up numbers that nobody else has ever put up. Like, even Jordan. Jordan, like, put up, like, 20 points a game in his first six games or something. Zion played 19 games, averaged 23.6. And, you know, you look, there were some high-end games there. There were a couple of early games where he didn't get a lot of playing time that, you know, lowered his average a little bit. Like, the kid is just an automatic 25. And like I said, he doesn't really know how to shoot yet. He doesn't really know how to box out yet. He doesn't, like, his game isn't anywhere near what it's going to be either. Like, it's nowhere near, like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't post up. He doesn't have a post-up game. He doesn't have a good jump shot. He doesn't have a good mid-range jump shot. He can hit a three, but it's not pretty. He has a weird shot, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, yet somehow he just shows up and scores 25. And it's his jumping ability. And really, I was very critical of Lonzo Ball. I've never been a big Lonzo Ball guy, at least in earlier in the career. I thought he was all hype and stuff, and I was right. But Lonzo Ball getting out of Los Angeles was the best thing that could have happened to him. And Lonzo Ball and Zion Williamson, like, you couldn't have a better pairing. Like, Lonzo Ball has great basketball IQ and vision. Like, he really does. Like, Lonzo Ball, like, plays basketball like a video game. And you can't do that with some teams and some players. It's like, and even me, like, if Lonzo Ball was on the Raptors, Nick Nurse would bench him. It would be like, bro, you can't just lob the ball 14 feet in the air, man, at Ibaka and expect him to get it, okay? Like, no, but I wanted to do a cool alley-oop pass, like, from 50 feet out. Yeah, we know what you wanted to do, all right? But we don't do that here. We play within a structure here, all right? Like, Lonzo Ball, he's, like, designed for Zion. It's like a video game. It really is NBA Jam. He's on fire. When a guy jumps, like, 80 feet in the air, he's on fire. Like, dude, I was watching, and it's not even pretty. I remember one game, dude, I'm watching Lonzo Ball threw, like, a baseball pass. Like, Lonzo Ball, like threw the basketball like a baseball, all right? He threw like a baseball. It was literally, I'm not even exaggerating, it was literally, like, 13 feet in the air. Like, it was higher than the rim, man. And Zion went up with one hand and just, ba-bam, came down with it, like, thunderous, like, threw it down. And I remember, I think we were live at the time, and I said, you can't stop that. It's impossible. Like, you physically cannot stop that. So, like, I don't care what anyone says about LeBron and AD and stuff. You guys can't stop that. So, whatever, man. Maybe you're going to, you know, you're going to have to score like 145 points. Like, I'm telling you, like, the Pelicans are going to get into the playoffs. They're going to play the Lakers in the first round, and they're going to scare the hell out of the Lakers. Like, I'm telling you, I'm going to bet on the series price. They're going to scare the hell out of them because they have nothing to lose. You have a bunch of kids on the Pelicans that don't even like LeBron. All right. Like, the Pelicans are one team that don't kiss LeBron's ass. They played with him. They know he's a big phony. You know what I mean? Like, you think Lonzo Ball likes him? LeBron hated him. LeBron James tried to trade Brandon Ingram the first minute he got there. They know this, right? They know. Like, yeah, we got traded because of LeBron and AD and all his agent and everything. And now we ended up with Zion. You got Lonzo Ball. You got Jrue Holiday. You got Zion Williamson. And you got Brandon Ingram. I don't care who you are. Like, I don't care who you are, what team you are. That's a load to deal with these kids. And the thing is, they have a good coach. They have a great coach as well. And, dude, they have nothing to lose. Like, the Pelicans have nothing to lose. You know what I mean? Like, there's no pressure on the Pelicans. All the pressure is going to be on the Lakers. Now, the Pelicans have to get there first. But their schedule is very, very manageable. And the Grizzly schedule is very difficult. I'm expecting that there is going to be this play-in series. And we've told you, we've told you before, we'll tell you again, we told you before, but it's plus 290 for the Pelicans to make the playoffs right now. And I think they will. I think the Pelicans are going to get in. I think the Pelicans are a really, really, really dangerous basketball team. Now, listen, the thing with the Pelicans is you need to outscore them. Yet, it's not like, the thing is, they're not like the Rockets where you need to outscore them. Like, the Rockets are going to show up and bomb a bunch of threes, and they better hope that they go in. The Pelicans, you know, they're dunking, man. And oh yeah, and another thing with Zion Williamson is, the thing with Zion is, guys, he already gets the calls from the refs. Like, he gets the star treatment already. You see it. You're like, you go near him. And the thing is, you don't have a choice but to foul him. And the thing is, he's a big kid. He's, like, chunky and wide and stuff. So, like, you make contact. He only hits 64% of his free throws. Think when this kid gets, like, a little bit of a touch at the free throw line as well. He's going to be scoring 30-plus a game. Like easy. 30 easy a game. 30 easy. Sports Rage Late Night. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back to live action, fellas. Sports Rage Late Night rolls on. People getting excited about the NBA's return. Because at least, you know, we're starting to see pictures right now of the players working out and returning. The Toronto Raptors are already in Florida right now, ahead of the curve and avoiding the virus right now in their own little bubble at Florida Gulf Coast University. Zion Williamson and the Pelicans are going to be a very, very dangerous team. And people are always looking for comparisons. And in the same way, it is true. You can't compare star players to each other. You can compare star players from a marketing standpoint. And the fact of the matter is, in the last, let's say 30 years, you know, you had Michael Jordan. But, you know, listen, I'm old enough to remember when Michael Jordan came into the NBA. People didn't know, guys. Like, when Michael Jordan came into the NBA, it wasn't like everyone knew, oh, this is going to be the greatest player of all time. Like, everyone laughs now about, oh, and Sam Bowie and stuff. Now, listen, I wouldn't have taken Sam Bowie before Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan did hit a shot to win a national championship and stuff, too, right? There was a pedigree with Michael Jordan already. But listen, Hakeem Olajuwon was known as the better player. Hakeem Olajuwon was known as like one of the greatest college players to ever to play the game. Michael Jordan was good. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan, but like people, like it's like revisionist history. Like I said, I remember, like, it's funny how like perceptions change. Like, I swear to God, I remember when people said Michael Jordan can't win. They said he's not a winner. He can't win. He's just an individualistic guy that's amazing, but he'll never win. Yeah, he'll never win. I remember they said the same thing about Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman was a selfish hockey player that doesn't play two-way. He'll never win. And it's funny because when it's all said and done, Steve Yzerman was known as like being one of the best captains and leaders and like two-way players and all that. Except, you know, that was a reputation, right? That was his reputation. Yeah, he's a selfish guy. He can't win. He just, you know, he just scores goals and stuff. And, you know, same thing with Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan turned out to be that sort of, like, really, if you look at the history of the NBA, it really is, and I'm talking about modern history, because in the 70s, the NBA was on tape delay, guys, right? Like, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, like, made the NBA, saved the NBA. And then Michael Jordan carried on what Magic and Bird had built. And then there was really nobody. You know what I mean? You had big stars and stuff, but LeBron James been that guy. But the thing is, so people compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan all the time. Oh, who's, you know, LeBron and Michael and stuff. They're not the same player. They're not the same body type. They're not the same. I've said it a million times. LeBron James is Magic Johnson, right? Michael Jordan, you know, like Kobe Bryant was close to Michael Jordan. Very, very similar player, same body. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are players that mimic each other, and there are players that pattern each other, like, off each other's games. But LeBron and Jordan have nothing in common stylistically and basketball-wise. Like, they really don't. But my point is, generational-wise, Zion is that big. Like, he really is. And he's lived up to the hype so far. Now, it's, you know, he obviously has a long way to go, Zion. He's got to accomplish a lot of things. But it's hard not to like the kid. The kid says all the right things. He clearly is taking the training seriously, coming back the way that he's looking right now. If you look at his marketing deals and his shoe contract and the money that he brings in, you know, he's on the verge of doing some special things and becoming a multi-billionaire. We'll put it that way. Like, you keep it up at this rate, bro. And like I said, like, there's going to be a Space Jam 3 and it's going to be starring you. you are going to be the new face of the NBA very soon. And people, you know, I think he can handle it. I think he can handle this. And even like NBA vets and star players say the same thing. Like Kevin Durant said, yeah, this is the face of our league, man. This is the new face of the league. Right. So I can't wait, man. Like the NBA playoffs going to be real, real cool stuff. You know, we can settle this Lakers and Clippers feud once and for all. I like the Toronto Raptors chances coming into this. The Philadelphia 76ers feel as if though they're getting a second chance on life right now. Ben Simmons is healthy. We haven't seen a picture of Joel Embiid yet, but supposedly Joel Embiid has hit the gym pretty hard himself. He hit the gym pretty hard himself as well. There really hasn't been any movement as far as the numbers are concerned. The Milwaukee Bucks are plus 240 to win the championship. The LA Lakers are plus 260. And, you know, I tweeted this out earlier this evening. I don't know what the deal is if, like, people in the media, like, do they get paid by the column to kiss the Lakers' ass as to why, like, the Lakers are going to win? You know, I'm seeing story after story. Wow, Lakers are the team to beat. Lakers are the team to beat. Lakers are the team to beat. Layoff helped the Lakers. Pandemic has helped the Lakers the most. It's like, I don't know. Has it really helped the Lakers the most? Really? They just signed J.R. Smith, all right? I don't know. Like, teams that signed J.R. Smith don't sound like they have everything. Like, Avery Bradley's out. Dwight Howard's not sure if he's going to play. You know, it doesn't matter, though, man. Like, basically, everybody on the Lakers could get coronavirus except LeBron James, and basically people in the media would say the Lakers are the team to beat. Now, I want to get to Rob Manfred a little bit here tonight as well. Like, this guy really is a clown, man. Like, he really is. There's something about Manfred, too. He's just got one of those, like, faceless expressions. And, you know, that you just, he's a hard guy to like looking at him. Like, just looking at him, you're like, yeah, you know, this guy's disingenuous. He's disingenuous. And, you know, he said about how, you know, the reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. So basically he admitted, now he's trying to backtrack, but now he's basically saying he doesn't think they're going to be able to get through these 60 games. Which is hard to get enthusiastic about this, isn't it? I mean, honestly, there was only over 56,000 cases of coronavirus today in the United States of America. And supposedly we're starting to play baseball in 20 days, flying around the friendly skies without any problems, right? He realized what he said was like libelous. And now he's saying, well, if we started an 82-game season, we would have had people in Arizona and Florida during the time the second spike hit. Yeah, but this second spike's not going away, bro. It's not like in 2 weeks it's gone. And in fact, it's just going to multiply. I know nobody listens to Fauci anymore, but Fauci just said that, like, this is, he said this is beyond imagination. His latest quote wasn't good. Like, Fauci's freaked out now. Fauci's freaked out. He says this is way beyond the worst spike he's ever seen before. It's just, and, you know, it's hard to get excited about this. And now you got Manfred saying, wow, we don't even know if we're going to be able to play 60 games. What a, you know, really, what a crap fest, guys. What a crap fest. And speaking of which, listen, I'm on the New York Daily News website right now on the front page. because I just clicked this Manfred story and just took me to the front page. Sports anchor Dan O'Toole's one-month-year-old daughter missing. On the front page of the New York Daily News, guys. Like I said, this isn't a good... I'm glad that his kid is okay. But, yeah, his career, this isn't good because now there's going to be a follow-up. Like, it's been picked up by all the major, like, media outlets now. Like I said, front page of the New York Daily News right now. Dan O'Toole's daughter missing. Big Card Julio, Chicago, steps up and in. What's up, Julio?
What's up, Gabe? Hope you guys are doing well. It's Small Card Julio for tomorrow with just one play in European soccer. Takes us to Spain and La Liga. Atletico Madrid against Mallorca. Two sides on polar opposite ends of the La Liga table. Atletico with that outstanding 2-2 draw against Barcelona midweek. Mallorca did pick up a victory, but they're in last place. They got 29 points. Atletico Madrid, one of the best defensive sides in Europe as well. In terms of 2.5 goals scored, Atletico Madrid are 23-10 to the under 2.5, one of the best sides in Europe. Give me Atletico Madrid money line and then under 3.5 goals in a parlay. Atletico Madrid under 3.5 goals at -129. And then I'm thinking maybe Doosan Bears, maybe some play with them in KBO baseball later this morning. But just focusing on one European soccer play, Atletico Madrid in under 3.5 goals against Mallorca at -129, Gabe.
What about a nice 2-0 exact score final? If they always
Under. I liked it a lot.
If they always,
they always go under last,
and they're not going to get scored
last
on, so let's
week
say 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. Let me see what that price is. Last week for Atletico Madrid, they were 2-0 up. They I think that's worth a shot. Last week they gave up the. Ooh, I love that number +420. That's a really good number there, Gabe.
Yeah, there you go.
They gave up the third goal last week in like the 88th minute. So more likely than not, a 2-0, maybe 1-0 score. If you can do one of those correct score lines, I think you can come out with a nice plus side winner.
Man, that's tough, though, betting it under 2.5. That's ballsy. Not a lot of room for error right there. I tell you that, Julio.
No, not at all. But with Atletico Madrid, they're a defensive side, one of the best defensive sides in Europe. And Diego Simeone wants to. He likes boring football. And a 2-0, 1-0. I'll be quite comfortable with that tomorrow afternoon.
Big Card Julio, shoot us a call tomorrow, Julio, if you got a full slate for Saturday. I'm enjoying betting on the soccer. Been up and down for me. But we hit a couple of winners this evening. Always a pleasure, Julio, in Chicago. Stay safe, my friend. Big Card Julio.
Take care, everybody.
Says,
take care, Gabe.
Small Card Julio. Going with the under. Atletico Madrid and Malagora under 2.5. Man, a lot of wiggle room there. Now, like I said, you can get 2-0 final score as +420. 2-0 +420. So, yeah, before we get out of here, we'll see what we can get you some overnight action. Got some live in-game tennis going on right now over at FanDuel. Soccer. Soccer has been really stepping up, and the handles on these soccer matches have been massive in North America. I'm curious to see how the MLS handle is going to be next weekend. I look forward to this starting on Wednesday. The MLS tournament starts, guys. 3 games a day, 16 days in a row, starting on July 8th, which is next Wednesday. Although Dallas FC basically had to shut everything down. 6 guys tested positive. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, another crazy fast show. Great job, Master Control Yang, Midtown, Des Moines, Iowa. Yang's spending the 4th of July in Iowa. We'll be back in New York. And speaking of New York, the New York Knicks may opt out of the second NBA bubble. This is something we didn't really get to earlier this evening, in which, you know, normally, you know, I'll be like, man, that's a stupid idea. And, you know, normally we're not talking about the NBA, but why in what world, why would the NBA, why would you have a second bubble of the other eight teams that aren't invited to this? Guys, there's a pandemic going on, man, all right? Like, do you really care this much about, like, eight games and television contracts? It's like, wow. Like, you know, normally you'd be, you know, I know the Knicks are, like, easy targets. And to be like, oh, the New York Knicks, haha, they don't even want to play. Like, do you blame them? Why? Imagine being on the New York Knicks or the Cleveland Cavaliers and the NBA tells you, yeah, listen, we want you to go and quarantine in a bubble in Chicago. For what? We're 13-62. Like, we're terrible. Like, what do you want from us? Like, I'm on the Knicks side here. The Knicks told the league, we don't even have a coach, all right? The Knicks said, we don't think our players will want to do this, and we don't have a coach. And now, like, I guess on a conference call, another team, and of course, like, we don't know who the other team is, right? The Knicks have to be the ones to get ripped and be the face of this. But supposedly there was another team that said, yeah, we're not going to any stupid second bubble. They're calling this like the NIT bubble or something like that. Like, what the hell are you guys doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, no one cares, man. No one needs to see the Atlanta Hawks play basketball, all right, for another 2 years, okay? I don't care. Like, you know, like, we're all the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, what are you guys doing, man? You worry about your one bubble, okay? Worry about pulling off the one bubble in Orlando. Let's not worry about a bubble in Chicago. Knicks are right. It's an upside down world, man. Panel 2 has lost it on Twitter, and the Knicks are right. Great job, Bearcat. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.